All right, welcome to part one of a new series, Next, and really excited that you're going to be here for the next 3 weeks for this series. It's going to be awesome. Let me just pause right here and say a heartfelt welcome to those that are now joining us online. We're so glad to have you along for the ride. Come on, can we just thank God for those that are joining us? There's many that join us from out of state on a regular basis. So glad to have you here. I actually have a special viewer this morning, and that would be my wife. And I just want to just say thank you to all those that have been praying for her this week. My wife had a surgery that she went through this week, and so she is recuperating. And so I'm sure she's watching live online right now. I'm getting a thumbs up back there. She's online. Hello, Kim. I love you, honey. Anyway, so we're glad to have her with us through this technology. Somebody said something about her missing today and about her having perfect attendance, and it reminded me of when we first got married. I think she had perfect attendance in Sunday school for like, I don't know, 19, 20, 21 years. I don't know how long it was, forever. And I messed it up. You know, at first we got married on Saturday. So on Sunday we were heading out on our flight out of Charlotte to go to Hawaii on our honeymoon. And so the next thing I know, as soon as we get airborne, the pilot comes on and says, we got a fire in one of our engines and we're going to have to return to Charlotte. And wasn't very good. You know, I'm thinking we're going to be one of those couples that didn't even make it to our, you know. And so then we get to Hawaii. There's an earthquake in Alaska. There's triggered a tsunami in Hawaii. A volcano erupts. I'm thinking, dear God, I'm sorry. If you'll let me get her back, I promise I'll behave. So anyway, but she's normally here. I know her heart wants to be here, but she's with us on our online campus. So glad to have her with us. And I just want to do, I do want to say thank you for all the prayers. And I do want to report to you that she had a very successful surgery. And so thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And I try not, we try to keep this about, not about us, but about you. But I think that item there is pretty important that I share that with you. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, it was diagnosed that she had some cancer in her thyroid. So they removed the entire thyroid this week. There were other spots they found in there, but thank God the word that we got, the call this week was, you are cancer-free, and you got it all the margins, everything's. So thank God for that. So thank you for all of your prayers, all the support, all the food, all the calls, the text. It was a full-time job, me just managing all the texting back and forth, trying to keep everybody updated. So we just want to say thank you. We love you with all of our heart. What a week we had last week on our Easter celebration, and I'm just pleased to report to you that we had some salvations last week. That's what it's all about. Amen. And it's just, you know, that heaven says that heaven rejoices over one that comes to know him. The angels in heaven rejoice over one. And so there was a lot of rejoicing last week, and so grateful for that. We had several people that went through our growth track, a process that we take people through and just helping them get moving in this journey. And so we had a great response to that last week. And we also had three people that said, hey, I want to take the next step and be water baptized. And that's what we're going to do today. And so it's going to be an exciting time. We're going to talk about what all that means as we talk about some next steps. You know, we think about salvation. Salvation is really a starting point on a spiritual journey with Christ. So salvation, life doesn't end with salvation, but rather it begins with salvation. It's just the beginning. So we're going to do this series about what it means next. What do we do next? So, okay, I checked the box last week, okay, that I am beginning a relationship with Jesus. And we do a spiritual survey kind of thing on Easter. We do this once a year, and that's what we did last week. A meant that I'm already in a relationship with Christ, and B is I'm beginning a relationship today. C means I'm going to consider it a bit more, and D means that I don't ever intend to make that decision, which if you check that, we're going to be praying for you because we believe God is able to work miracles and turn your life around. And so we're celebrating, especially the ones that checked the B last week. But I do want to say that it's more than just checking a box, and that's the end of it. In fact, that's just the beginning. There's a lot more to that. And so we're going to talk about next steps, and we're about next steps around here. We don't believe that we're just supposed to catch fish as it is. You know, the Bible gives an analogy of winning people to Christ as catching fish. And we don't just catch fish and throw them up on the bank and that's it. We got them. That's it. No, we believe that, and I take very seriously my responsibility to help you grow and help you develop and help you in your spiritual journey. In fact, I see my job as a pastor as your tour guide, okay? I'm just here to help guide you and lead you to different pastures and as God leads us, and that you'll grow in that process. And so, but we do understand, the first thing we need to understand is that the starting point of salvation and really what that means. So I want to give you a scripture. It's found there in your message notes. That's in your worship guide. You can follow along with us. We'll also have it up here on the screen for you. We'll have some fill in the blanks for you as well. Ephesians chapter 2 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. So we need to make sure we understand that salvation, there is nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. We can't be good enough. We can't earn it. We can't get our act together and hope that God will then like us. Listen, God already likes you. He already is in love with you. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners. That's when he died for us, because he loves us so much. He comes to us not because of we got it all together. He comes to us because of our need. And what he offers to us is a gift from him that we cannot earn that. It is none of our credit, no credit goes to us. God saved us by his grace. And then he goes on to say, salvation is not a reward for good things we have done. So it's not, well, if I'm good. In fact, I had a conversation with somebody this week, and they said, well, hopefully I'll be good enough. Maybe I can get to heaven. No, I'm sorry if that's the way you think it works, and you're mistaken. We can't be good enough. Even on our best of days, we're still a mess, right? And so salvation is not a reward for good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. The only one that gets the credit is Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I get an amen right there, everybody? It's Jesus Christ and what he did for us. It is a gift that's based on his goodness to us. Philippians chapter 2 says this. It says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Now, wait a minute. We just said that salvation is not based on works, but now we're showing you a scripture that says to work hard to show the results of your salvation. But I want to clarify that there's two different things going on there. Our salvation is a gift that's not based on works. And salvation is not a result of your work. However, work is a result of your salvation. So what it's saying is that I'm not saved because of my works, but because I'm saved, I'm going to work hard to show the results of my salvation, right? Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. And whenever we get those two areas mixed up, that's where a lot of confusion comes in. In fact, if we get that mixed up, we start getting into this thing called religion instead of relationship. And we think it's all about our good works and how good we are and how we measure up and how good we do. And then we fall into a religious form. And that has nothing to do with salvation. But as we're following the Lord, there are works that are going to follow. Let me put it to you this way. God comes on the inside and he changes us on the inside. And so there's a new nature now. So what our works begin to change. Our attitudes begin to change. The way we live our life begins to change. Because of the grace of God's gift given to us, something internal happens that then begins to affect the external. Does that make sense, everybody? And so I just want to make that clear up front. But as we follow the Lord, we understand that, again, salvation is a gift. But now we're going to begin to follow him, and we're going to begin to take steps. And these steps are going to reflect the results of our salvation as we follow the Lord. And so I want to talk about some steps. 1 Peter, let me give you this scripture. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, says this, like newborn babies, and that's what happens when we're born again of God by his gift of grace in our life, we are beginning out like newborn babies, we have initial steps that we take. So as newborn babies, we're to crave pure spiritual milk, it's described here. And so you think about a baby when a baby's born. There are some initial things that are very crucial at the point of birth. In those early developmental stages, it's very important. I remember, you know, when my boys were born. I mean, immediately as soon as they're born, They don't give you much time to hold those babies. Those nurses are in there, and they're doing some things that are crucial to happen as soon as that baby is born, to make sure that baby's healthy, to make sure that baby's going to be breathing right, to make sure that baby's going to live on. And so in those early stages of salvation, there are some important, crucial steps. And then as that baby develops, there's the environment that it needs to be in, a good environment and have right things happening in its life, good interaction. We know that those developmental years are very crucial. Some people are in their adult lives dealing with the fact that some of those early developmental stages of life were not healthy for them, and they're still dealing with those. So it's very important, those early years. So look what it goes on to say. So like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And I love that. That you've tasted, and that's what happens in salvation. You've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Can I just say something right here, everybody? God is good. God is good. He is a good God. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like serving Him. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I just think that kind of speaks the way we present the gospel around here, that we just want people to taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not a bitter cup. Listen, Jesus took the bitter cup for us. It's a sweet cup when we take the cup of salvation. And somebody said, well, maybe you're just one of those feel-good churches. Yeah, well, what's the alternative? You want a feel-bad church? Listen, I think when we understand what Jesus has done for us and understand the grace and the goodness of God, the Bible puts it this way. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. So we want to make church life-giving, and we're going to have coffee in the lobby, and we're going to have some laughter, and we're going to make church fun. Come on, everybody laugh right now. Would you do it? Just go ahead and lighten up a little bit. We don't believe church should be stale and stiff and rigid, and you saying, I just can't wait till it's over. Let me out of here. No, we want you to be able to leave and say, is it over already? Come on, this was great. This was life-giving. Well, I believe it should be that way. Amen. Well, Jesus was enjoyable. We've shared this before. Jesus was enjoyable. He was a kid magnet. You know he was. And you know he probably had candy in his robe, because what kid crawls up in Jesus' lap? It's not somebody that's just a sour-faced-looking, pruned-up guy like some of the artists have drawn him. No, he was life-giving. And I believe Jesus was enjoyable. I believe we should have been enjoyable. And so we want to attract people to the beautiful nature of Jesus and what he has to offer us. But that being said, it's not all fun and games. Now that we've come and we've tasted and we've seen that the Lord is good, now we got to get to work. Now there's some things for us to do. So it's not just surface stuff, but rather, listen, there's some things that we're to live out, and some issues that we're going to be working through. And as we grow, and there's some things in our life that maybe shouldn't be there that needs to die, and we need to get past and settle the past so we can have a future. And that's a process. And so we're going to work through those things. So that's what you have a church for. That's what we have people guiding us through that and working those things out. It's a process. But we understand that there are some steps that I believe that every believer needs to take. And so I want to give you five steps today that I believe every believer needs to take. We're talking about next steps, okay? Number one, write this down. Step number one, be water baptized. Be water baptized. And that's really, if you look in throughout Scripture, that's usually the first step. And it's always, always post-decisions. In other words, it's when somebody has come to Christ that the next thing you see happening after they come to Christ is they become water baptized. Another aspect of water baptism is that it's always, in Scripture, almost always spontaneous and immediate. So as soon as someone would come to Christ, they were water baptized. So we're going to break this down and kind of talk about that today. But I want to show it to you in Scripture. Acts chapter 2, verses 41. And this was when the church was first birthed on the day of Pentecost. And Peter went out and preached this great message and explained to them how that Jesus had died on the cross and was resurrected, and how that God had distributed the Holy Spirit to them, and now there was the birth of this church, and they didn't know what was going on. And the Bible says that 3,000 came to Christ. And then look what it says. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized. So not only did they receive Christ, but they were baptized. We'll say, well, that's just one example. Let me give you another one. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Both men and women were baptized. So we see the baptism there. Acts chapter 8 verse 13 says, Simon himself believed and was baptized. And so I want to encourage you in the step of being water baptized. And we're going to talk about that. I'll break it down a little bit later on in the message here. But be water baptized. That's a first step. And anytime we follow the Lord, listen, there is a blessing involved in that when we follow the Lord. And there's some things we're going to say, well, I don't understand why. Why? I think it's good right up front to go ahead and kind of get in the right mind frame to understand that there's going to be a lot of things when you're following Christ that you're not going to have an answer to the question why to, but you simply trust him and follow him. And so I think it's pretty cool that the first step that God wants us to take is in water baptism, when maybe we don't quite understand that. And I think God's showing us that there's times in our journey that there's going to be places we don't understand the whys. And so we don't over-rationalize and think it, but we just continue, we follow him. We follow him. And it's a step of faith. So that's a first baby step, if you will. Here's another step. Number two, join a local church. Join a local church. And you say, well, I can just do this myself. Let me encourage you. You need to get connected. And it doesn't have to be this one. There's a lot of good ones in Charlotte, okay? And there's a lot of good churches. But I'm saying you need to, and I think this is a good one. I would recommend this one, okay? But make sure you get connected to a local church where you can grow and get connected. In fact, today you heard it on our Crosspoint News that we will have in our growth track today. Today is step two, and there'll be an opportunity where you can learn more about the ministry of Crosspoint, and you can actually join today. You can be a part of this body today. I think it's extremely, extremely important. Let me show it to you. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, it says that you are a member of God's very own family. So you're now part, when you come to Christ and you've given your heart to the Lord and he has saved you, now you're a part of the family, the big C church, okay? The big family of God. But then it says, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. So you're in a family, but you need to be in a house, right? You need somewhere to belong. So I want to encourage you to get involved in a local church. And I, again, join Crosspoint today. We would love to have you. But here's what I know. God's plan for this world is the church. The hope of this world is the local church. I'm convinced of that. I mean, when you look at the news and you see violence happening on the news and you see police scenes and you see police handling things and all the things that happened at some time in society, can I tell you, I appreciate the service of the police officers, but that's not the solution. The solution is found in the church. The solution is found in relationship with God. That's the solution. When you look and you see the poverty, you see the poor, and you see the needy, let me tell you, you might say, well, we need government to fix that. Can I tell you, government is not the solution to that. But let me tell you who is the solution to that. It's the church. It's people, come on, there's amen. There's something called redemption and lift. And when somebody gets redeemed, when they understand who they are in Christ, their status in life lifts. They get elevated. Things get better. Things improve. And that's what the church is there to help people with their next step and life improve and get better. Amen? And so the church, I'm convinced the church is the hope of the world. And so we need to be involved in a church that we understand its mission. And we know that when we come together as a church, we can accomplish more together than we can individually. So it's extremely important to get involved in a church, understand its mission, and together let's go do something that's going to make an eternal difference. Amen? I'm excited about this. Amen. So step number one, be baptized, be water baptized. Number two, join a local church. Number three, write this down, get in a small group. Get in a small group. And we really emphasize this here at Crosspoint. If you're new here to Crosspoint, let me just let you know, we are a church not just with small groups. We're a church of small groups because we believe that real life, authentic change happens in the context of relationships. And your associations, listen to this, as you come to Christ, your associations will define you. If you show me your friends, I'll show you what you're going to look like 10 years down the road. Because who you center your life around, who you associate with, it's going to define you. And so you have to make the right decisions. There may be some people that you could say, I can't be around you anymore. Unless you want to come and go with me and follow Christ. But I'm not going in that direction anymore. My life has changed. And then you need to be intentional about replacing your life with good people around you, people that is going to encourage you and build up your faith and help you in this journey. So it's extremely important. 1 Corinthians, this is not in your notes, but this is an extra scripture that says bad company corrupts good character. It's just true. And so we need to make good choices and end bad relationships and begin good relationships and find people. Listen, seek people out who know you, who can ask you really what's going on, you know? And that's what the beauty of, in fact, we do small groups here where you can get in a relationship with someone where you can get real with somebody and be honest with somebody, where somebody has the right to speak into your life and say, hey, man, what's going on? You know, why are you talking to your wife that way? Well, it's none of your business. Well, yes, it is, because you're my friend, and I love you, and I care about you. And so, you know, come on, close the door. We're going to talk, right? That's what we need. I'm giving you, now this is a very practical next steps message, but these are crucial steps in our early developmental stages as we're following Christ. And can I tell you, for those of you that say, well, I've been a Christian a long time, this isn't for me. Oh, yes, it is. We all need these things in our life. And there may be some things lacking that we need to make sure that we have in place in our life. So get in a small group and get in relationship with people. Hebrews chapter 10 says this. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. That day, that's a capital D. That's talking about judgment day. In other words, in order for us to make it, we need each other. We cannot do this alone. So we need to assemble ourselves here as a church, but we also need to assemble ourselves together in small groups and in relationship. Let me give you step number four. Number four, start growing. Start growing. So there might be some things in your life that you need to start that aren't quite in place, and just start growing in spiritually speaking. And it could be practical things like, for one thing, if you're not reading your Bible every day, read your Bible every day. Get into a habit. Get into a routine. You can go to crosspointworshipcenter.com, and we have a link there where you can connect every day to online Bible reading. I like to do the Bible Act View version, and that's the first thing I look at every day before I look at my emails, before I look at the weather, before I look at my maps and whether I'm going to be able to get through Charlotte traffic, before I do anything else. I'm going to look at my Bible app, and I'm going to get the scripture for the day, and then I'm going to go from there. I'm going to spend some time, you know, in the Word. And listen, the Word, it will change you. The Bible describes the Word, it's like a mirror. You look in it and it says, wow, you know, I'm it says that I should be looking like this, and I'm not looking like that. It says I'm supposed to be loving that person, and I'm hating them right now. So, Lord, I don't know, you know. Sometimes we want to read the Bible. The Bible will read us, so don't read the Bible. Let the Bible read you, right? And it will reflect who you are. And then you say, oh, Lord, I've got some work to do there. I want to hate them right now. I got to love them. Lord, help me. Help me to love them, right? And so we're going to be, right? And it's going to require a daily thing of following Christ. And so we're letting the Bible read us, and it will change our heart. Hebrews chapter 4 says it will judge the Bible will judge the attitude of your heart. It'll do surgery in your heart. It will reveal what's going on, but it'll also give you hope, right? And God's power is in His Word to change us. And then we pray, and we allow the Holy Spirit every day, spend time in His presence. Come on. So here's what I tell people right here: take 15 minutes, take 5 minutes in the Word. Five minutes in prayer and 5 minutes of worship, and go on and then go on and live your day and see what a difference it'll make. I'm telling you, do that every day. it'll change your life. I'm giving you some practical next steps that you can do. And then, of course, the church. The church will help as well in your journey to start growing. And so I encourage you, again, get on the growth track today. Start growing. We had some come last week, first time in the house, came last week to the growth track. They're going to be back. They're coming back today, step two today. And you don't have to wait till step one rolls around again. And by the way, let me kind of explain that for those of you that are new. The growth track has four steps to it. There's four steps. There's step one, step two, step three, step four. And where that falls is first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday, every month. And it rolls every month. And so if you miss one, you can pick it up the next month. But I encourage you to go through all four straight through. And it takes 1 hour. It's right after service. We provide you a meal after service with that. Child care is available. You got to eat somewhere anyway. Knock it out in 1 hour. 4 weeks, you're done. Can I just tell you that you don't have to start on step one. You can start at any step and then just pick up the next step the next month. We're trying to make this easy for you to be able to find a place in a way where you can connect very easily and begin the growth process. Now, the growth track doesn't solve everything, but it gets you moving. We believe that growth is movement. And so we're tracking that. We want to see if somebody came to Christ, did they take the next step, and are they being water baptized? If they got water baptized, are they in the growth track? Did they get into a small group? Have they joined the church? Are they connecting? Are they moving? Are they growing? Are they reading their Bible every day? Are they growing as a person? Are they now stepping maybe into a leadership role and leading a small group? And so we want to guide people step by step in that growth process. And so the growth track is just a catalyst to get you moving and get you coming out on the other end of that growth track, serving and making a difference. And that's where it really becomes fun. So again, let me give you this scripture in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 that says, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. And that's what our hope is for you. And we're going to be talking about more of that in the weeks following. Look at step number 5. Step number 5. Find your purpose. This is huge. Find your purpose. And this is where Christianity honestly really begins to be loads of fun. Can I just put it to you this way? You're not on this planet just to exist, just to get a paycheck, just to barely make it to the end of the month, just to survive, put out some fires, just help me get my kids to behave, help me to make it. Calgon, take me away. Some of y'all may be old enough to know what that analogy means. Anyway, just barely make it. Listen, God has a purpose for your life. Your life is not just about breathing air and getting relief. Amen? But you have a purpose. And listen to this. The best way for me to pastor you is to help you find your purpose. The best way for you to solve your problem is to find a problem that's, or find a purpose that's bigger than your problem. Right? Is this making any sense? Because listen, I've been doing this a while now, okay? I'm just letting you know. You solve one problem, and guess what? You that one problem solved, another problem comes. Come on, y'all been living a while. Y'all know this to be true. You got one problem, you get solved, and here comes another problem and another problem. Life is not going to be solved by you solving all your problems. It's finding a purpose that's bigger than your problem. Come on, your problems just begin to diminish because you got something greater to live for, and it's found in your purpose. Amen. Amen. I get some claps around here because some of these people know it to be true. And they've been on this journey. They've started this journey. Now they're finding their purpose and they're finding the fulfillment in that. So we consider, listen, the real touchdown around here, the measure of the real touchdown is not just, you know, the box has been checked on Easter Sunday, but again, is a person growing? Are they taking the next steps? And so my job. Listen, it's just not rah, rah, rah. The box has been checked. Easter eggs, go home. You know, it's over. No, actually, it's taking you on a journey as your pastor to take you through different fields of discovering. And you're in fields, and I'm leading you and helping you, and you're eating from this pasture and from this field, and then, you know, we're going to move, and we're going to do something different there and to the next field and to the next step. I'm going to help guide you through that, and that's what my job is as a pastor, to help equip you and help you to grow. as a believer in the Lord. But I take my job very, very seriously. I pray for you every day. And I just want, the delight of my heart is to see people not only come to Christ, but to grow and to see them change and see them mature. And then they begin to affect other people's lives. And I'm saying that's when it becomes fun. When not only you're just coming and receiving, but now you're seeing the importance of what this thing is all about. And you're speaking into somebody else's life. And you're seeing that life change. And then you experience the fulfillment of what that feels like, right? So that's what my job is as a pastor. Come on, that's what it's all about. And so we need to determine, I'm determined to get every person to know what their purpose is, why you exist, why you wake up in the morning, why, you know, so now you get up in the morning and you got a difference to make for eternity. You got a reason to get up. Ephesians chapter 2, let me show you scripture for that. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So in other words, before God created you, he had already prepared something for you to do. So he didn't create you and say, "Well, wow, what am I going to do with them now? I mean, I don't know about this one. I don't know if I can use this one or not." No. He already had the task ready for you and created you for that. He already had a purpose lined up for your life. You are not an accident. You are not an accident. You're not a mistake. God had already planned you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. He has a purpose for your life. Amen. That's good news. That's something to get excited about. And so we want to help you discover what that purpose is. Amen. And so I want to help lead you today in that first step, okay? That first step today of baptism. In fact, I'm prepared for those of you that may want to do spontaneous baptism. That'd be great. I was sharing with someone before church. We had a spontaneous baptism around here one time and had dozens of people in one night that went home wet. It was awesome, man. I mean, they thought they were going to go home dry, but they went home wet and happy. So if you want to be water baptized today, we're all about spontaneous baptisms. And so even if you didn't bring a change of clothes, it'll be a good day. It's warm outside. Anyway, but I want to talk through a little bit of this just very briefly about what water baptism is all about. And I want to talk about biblical baptism. When I say biblical baptism, it's really in Scripture, it's a decision that you've made since you became a believer. Now, I know a lot of people were baptized as a child or even as an infant and in a dedicatory kind of a way. And we do not practice infant baptism here, and I want to tell you why, but I do want to say that we respect that and we honor that, because the way we look at that is that it was a symbolic dedicatory type of a baptism with the hopes that one day you will come to that personal decision yourself to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, we do baby dedications here. In fact, we've got one coming up at the end of this month that we're going to be dedicating some babies. And we dedicate that to the Lord with the hopes that when they come to understand that they will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they'll make that decision. Baptism, we believe, though, in Scripture, what we see, we don't see any infant baptism demonstrated in Scripture. In fact, everything of baptism we see in Scripture was when someone made a decision to accept Christ, and baptism followed that decision. So, again, we don't disrespect if you were baptized as a young child, But there are 27 baptism experiences in the Bible, and all of them are post-decisions. Not one of them was infant baptism. And so here's what we're looking at. It's a matter of making a decision. It goes back to that song. You know, remember that song, "I Have Decided"? You know, "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus." You don't want me to keep singing, do you? "I have decided," y'all aren't going to help me, are you? "To follow Jesus, no turning back. It's making a decision that I'm going to follow him. And so this is an area where we're saying, "Lord, you said be baptized I'm going to follow you. So it's not just me checking the box, but it's now, Lord, I'm also going to begin to follow you. And it's saying, I'm committing myself to you. It's saying, Lord, you're not just on my list, you're at the top of my list. And I just think we need to take following Jesus very, very seriously. You know, we live in a day of Facebook and Twitter. And Facebook, we can so easily, you know, somebody does, we don't like somebody, and they hurt our feelings, unfriend them right there. You know what I'm saying? Or if it's on Twitter and you're following somebody and they're just tweeting too much, just blowing up everything, and you're like, I can't take this. I'm gonna unfriend you. Boom, you're gone, just like that. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we treat God that way. We check the box, we follow him, we say we follow him, but if something doesn't go our way, if we don't understand the answer to our why, we're out. And I just think we need to take it very seriously when we're following Christ that we are committing to him. We don't need to have that Facebook, Twitter mentality when we're following Christ, but completely when we're being water baptized, we're saying, God, I completely give myself to you. Let me give you the definition. Baptism comes from the word baptizo in the Greek, where it really, what it literally means is to fully submerge, to fully submerge. And so let me just assure you, there's nothing magical about the experience or about the water or about the person that's doing it or what the person's saying. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes there's a debate about what's supposed to be said when you're water baptized. And there's actually different camps. Some say you must baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And some say, no, you got to baptize in Jesus' name. And so let me get this straight. So when we get to heaven and the person who did it didn't say the right words and I was underwater, didn't hear what he said, when I get to heaven, they're going to say, I'm sorry, they used the wrong words. Come on, guys. You know, So we'll just do in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus' name. Cover everybody if you want to, whatever. But I'm just saying it's not about that, but it's about the act of following the Lord fully in this water baptism. And this doesn't save you. This event doesn't save you. It declares what has already happened. It's a response to salvation. It's not the cause of salvation. Only Jesus saves, and he gives us the free gift of salvation. So let me give you three reasons for people who decided to take this step. Write this down. Number one, the reason to do this is I've decided to do this to follow the example set by Christ. So Jesus set the example for us. You say, well, why? Because he said to do it. That's why. Again, I think we analyze things too much, and we got to be careful with that as we live this out, right? So, 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, Paul said. So we're to follow the example set by Christ. Our whole life should be following the example of Christ. Secondly, we're deciding to do this to demonstrate my changed life. And I look at baptism this way. It's the wedding band of Christianity. So this wedding band I have on, this is not what causes me to be married. My commitment to Kim is what causes me to be married. But it symbolizes that commitment. It's a sign. It's letting people know, you can't have this. I'm taken. And I know you're thinking, I wasn't really thinking that. I know. Kim had her surgery this week, and she had to take off her rings. And, you know, it's been years probably since either one's taken her rings off. And so I kept it right close to my heart, you know, on me, you know, with her ring. And I couldn't wait to get it back on her finger. When I got it back on her finger, I actually knelt down and on my knees and put it on her finger. And she accepted it. I was so thankful. I didn't know if it was going to work the second time. But anyway, so thankful to get that ring back on her finger, you know. I want everybody to know, she belongs to somebody. Well, guess what? Water baptism is saying, I belong to somebody. Amen? And now think about this. Let me just keep going. I'll come to that in a minute. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Let me keep preaching. In baptism, we show that we have been saved from death and doomed by the resurrection of Christ. That's last week. That was Easter, everybody. That's what Jesus did for us, right? Not because our bodies are washed clean by the water, but because in being baptized, we are turning to God and asking Him to cleanse our hearts from sin. And so we're following Him, and we're showing what has already been done, what Jesus has done for us. So again, it's a response to Easter. It's an outward sign of an inward work. So let me give you this point. We commit and we decide to do this in water baptism, take this step, again, to follow the example of Christ, to demonstrate my changed life, but also this, to declare my commitment publicly. So back to the analogy of the wedding ring. If baptism is like the wedding band of Christianity, what if I only wore my wedding band at home? Like every time I went out, I'd put my ring and leave it at the house. And Kim's like, what's up with that? You know, why aren't you wearing our wedding band out in public? Well, baby, that's just between you and me. You know, I don't want everybody else to know that. You know, that's just personal. That's between you and me. I don't want anybody else to know we're married. You know, there would be hair, teeth, and eyeballs. You know what I'm saying, right? So why do we do that with the Lord? Now, I want to give you a scripture that might be confrontational, and I don't like necessarily to throw confrontational scriptures out there, but this is important. You know, because we could say, well, my faith is personal. It's a personal thing. It's private. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. Our faith is not supposed to be kept in private. So we're supposed to hide it in school and hide it in politics and hide it in the workplace. And listen, our faith is supposed to be lived out. I'm not saying you have to be up in people's face and be rude about it, but your faith needs to affect everywhere you go and everything you do, every aspect of your life. Amen? And so faith is real and to be lived out. Look at what Matthew chapter 10 says. Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. And this is a scary verse. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And so we try to make it very simple and remove any barriers for people to be able to come to Christ in a very personal way. But there is a point where you need to make a public declaration, and we believe that's water baptism. And so we're going to give that opportunity, make it an opportunity available today. And so what I'd like to do right now, though, most importantly, is perhaps there's some that need to take even the step before water baptism, and that's that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Lord, and make Him the Lord of your life. So here's what I'd like you to do. Would you just take a moment, just bow your heads with me? If you're watching online, I'd like you to join with us as well. But perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, you're talking about this journey and this new life and this life getting better and these steps of life getting better. But where I'm at right now is not a good place. And I know that I need change in my life. It may be that you've never really had a real relationship with Jesus. You know, a lot of people have religion, but really not relationship, but it's really all about relationship. It may be that you once had that, but somehow things have come in and pulled you into a different place, and you know you're not where you need to be. I would like the opportunity today, just like we do every week, I'd like the opportunity to lead you in a prayer, like many have done here, to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And here's the way we do it. We don't embarrass you or have you stand or come to the front. But right where you're seated, I just want to simply lead you in a prayer. And I'm just going to help you with the words. And all you've got to do is mean it. And everything will change in this moment. Whether you're here in this building or watching online, I want to lead you in that prayer. But my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you today, and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you just slip up a hand? Let me know who I'm praying with, and you can put it right back down. Yes, good job. Good job. All right, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you need to pray this prayer, I invite you to pray it with me and, again, those watching online. And I'd like everybody just to pray this out loud for support. Can we do that? And if whether you raised your hand or not, if you need to pray this prayer, I invite you to join with me just from your heart. Just pray a prayer like this. Just say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross so I could live. Thank you for settling my past so I can have a future. Today I turn from my way. I accept the gift of salvation. Come on the inside. Make me brand new. Today I give you my life. Come on, say that again. I give you my life. I surrender everything to you. I ask you to help me to follow you step by step, day by day. With all of my heart, I will follow you as you help me. Lord, I thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it, and I celebrate with them right now along with heaven. And God, I pray over them. Lord, give them the courage now to follow you. Thank you for the peace that comes from knowing you. Thank you that even this very moment, everything has changed. The past is gone. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. God, as we put our faith in you and what you did for us and accept your gift of life, God, everything's changed in that moment by simply believing in you. Thank you for that gift. Nothing for us to do. God, you've done it all for us. We just simply accept it. Now, Lord, help us to follow you day by day as we grow and follow you and become more like you. We give you all the praise and all the honor. I pray for this church, Lord. I pray for those being water baptized today. I pray for those that need to step out and take a courage. Perhaps it's some spontaneous baptism today that wasn't planned. But we know, oh God, that we need to follow you fully. And I pray for those that are going to take that step today. And God, we just celebrate together. And God, may our light shine to this world who needs hope. And God, for everything accomplished, we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.